title of our conversation is this: what is love? Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, what is love? Maybe you got in an argument with your spouse on the way here. What is love again? If you don't like that title, I got a subtitle for you. It's this: baby, don't hurt me. And another subtitle: baby, don't hurt me no more. I would sing it, but every time I try to sing on stage, y'all leave me hanging, and so I'm not going to sing it. If you're new to church today, man, I got good news for you. God is really glad that you're here. And no matter who you are, where you come from, where you find yourself today, God is closer than you think. God wants to speak to you today. And we're going to, before we pray, we're going to take a look at scripture today. We're going to jump into Romans 8. Paul is speaking to the persecuted church in Rome, and he says this in verse 31. This is where we're going to jump in. Paul says this question: what then shall we say to these things? What are these things? This question that Paul is proposing, what then shall we say to these things? Paul is talking about what then should we respond to of the gospel. Paul, in Romans 8, he has articulated the power of the gospel, that our sin was condemned in Jesus. Can I get an amen? Who took it as his own. The Son of God, Jesus, took my sin as his own. My sin was condemned in Jesus. That it is not my works that save me, but I am justified by his grace through faith. That Jesus conquered the grave. Conquered sin. Paul reminds the church, he reminds us today, that the core of God's actions is his unshakable love for humanity. And so Paul asks this question: what then shall we say to these things? Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? I could preach on that today, but that is not my assignment today. I'd like to preach on that. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, it does not matter what comes against me, because my God, who created the heavens and the earth and rescued me, is for me. So it does not matter what comes against me. Then Paul says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us things? Verse 33, who shall bring any charge against God's elect, against God's people? It is God who justifies. Verse 34, Paul asks another rhetorical question: who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Did you know that Jesus is praying for you today? And then Paul asks this question: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or a sword? Keep in mind, all those things Paul just mentioned, he's faced. Paul's asking this question, he's provoking the church. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. In case you were unaware, today Christians are currently being not just persecuted, slaughtered and killed for the sake of the gospel. Over 800 Christians in Syria have been killed in the last week. Thousands of Christians in the nation of Nigeria have been slaughtered for the sake of the gospel. Verse 37, Paul says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. How? Through him who loved us. Through all these things, what things? Paul is saying through tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or a sword. In all these things, you aren't just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. I'm not just a conqueror. We aren't just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. How? Not because I'm good or I'm gifted or I'm strong. In Christ Jesus, who loves me who loves you. Then Paul says this, this is where I want to camp today. For I am sure. In other translations, Paul says, I am convinced, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else. Because Paul knows some of us can be so literal. We hear these things like, what about this? Paul says, anything else. And all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Why don't we pray? Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for your word. That is the truth, the life. Jesus, we thank you that you are the way, the only way. God, as your church family today, we come before you with open hearts and open minds, not to be swayed by opinions or good thoughts, but to be changed and transformed by the truth of your word. God, we need you today. God, personally, I pray for your grace, your power, your authority, your anointing. God, I'm aware again that I'm nothing without you. Help me to preach your word today. Holy Spirit, help me to hear you. God, we thank you for what you're doing in our church. Everybody said, thank you. Serena, you're the best. Everybody give it up for Serena. She's the best. Have you ever been unsure if someone liked you? Like, have you ever wondered if, like, a certain person liked you? It's just me and my insecurity. Like, sometimes people make it abundantly clear that they like you. Sometimes they make it abundantly clear. It's like, I know you don't like me. And then there's times where you just, you're unsure. I can't read how that person feels about me. A great dilemma in life is when you like somebody and you're single and you can't tell that person you're interested in if they like you or they're even remotely interested in you. I faced this great dilemma when I first saw Brooke across the church lobby. I saw those blue eyes from across the church lobby and it was like no other shade of blue mattered but the blue in her eyes. I saw her smile for the first time in this church lobby. It was like my heart beated for the first time. And then we made eye contact and she caught me fiercely staring at her. You know when you're caught staring at your crush and you lose all brain function, you just look up. I remember thinking, who is that? Went to our security team and said, guys, I got a really important mission. I need you to find out who that is. See that girl over there? I said, why? Is she dangerous? Yes. She's a thief. What did she steal? She stole my heart, Seth. I need you to find out who she is. For months, I had no clue if Brooke liked me. She was so confident who she was in her relationship with Jesus, she gave no inkling if she was interested in me. Little did she know that I needed her. Can I get an amen? I would put my Bible next to hers where she was seated in church. Like every week, it's like, whoops, I'm here again. She served in the resource area in the lobby. Walk around every week, she'd ask me the question, are you interested in anything? I'm like, yes, not a book, I'm interested in you. I served in our rural youth. I was a youth leader in our rural youth ministry. And my youth pastor at the time asked me to get my CDL, a bus license, to pick up young people to take them to church. By the way, there is a special place in heaven for those who drive a church bus. I think I saw Luke Llewellyn here today. I can promise you has more miles than any other driver in our church. When you get to heaven and you see his mansion, you will know why. We need more bus drivers. Can I get an amen? So I got my CDL and I'm driving the different bus routes and I'm bartering with our bus director. Can you please put Brooke as a bus leader on my bus? So 1 week finally does and we're driving. We drop the young people off. We're driving back and we pull up to Brooke's car. So romantic in the bus. And I go, there's no cool way to open the doors of a bus. I don't know if you've ever seen a driver. So I reach over and it's hard to open. So I'm trying to act like I'm strong and I open the door and she smiles at me. And the way that she smiles at me, I can't tell if it's like a smile, like I'm a little bit interested in you, or it's just a normal smile. And then she just says, "Okay, Josh, see you later." And so now it's my turn to respond to her statement of "see you later." And I could have said a normal response like, "Okay, I'll see you later." Or, "Okay, it was nice talking to you. I'll see you Sunday." Or I could have even said, "Oh, same time next week." But instead, what I said was "cool beans." Her smile turned into a look of bewilderment, like, "What is wrong with you?" She walks up the bus and I'm closing the door in shame. Just pleaded with the Lord, "God, take me home now. Enoch me home. Just talking to myself, "Josh, of all the things for you to say, you've never said cool beans in your life ever before. And now is the time you think is a good time to say it for the first time? Here I am." And I still don't know if Brooke likes me. Brooke was in my sister's community group. Alyssa's my sister, and I find out that they're getting coffee. So they get coffee, and I'm interested in this coffee, and I ask Alyssa, I say, "Hey, did you guys talk about me? Like, did Brooke say anything?" She's like, "I don't really know." But like, and then Alyssa asked me, she said, "Josh, do you still like Brooke?" I said, "Alyssa, there's a shrine in my closet dedicated to this woman. I love her. You know this." My friends are trying to convince me, "Josh, man, I think she likes you. They're not convinced. I am not convinced that she likes me." And so it comes time where I am going to find out for myself. I'm going to ask her to coffee. And so one Sunday after church, I've made up my mind. I'm going to find out for myself. Does she like me? Does she know who I am? So I'm sitting through church. I'm praying all service, not for church. I'm praying that God would speak to Brooke, that I'm her future husband. And I walk out into the lobby. I walk over to the resource area and I start this conversation. And as soon as I start this conversation, I see one of my friends walking over to interrupt this conversation. But it's one of those friends that you do not want interrupting this conversation. So it speeds up my request to say, "Hey, Brooke, I like you. I think you're beautiful. I'd love to go to coffee. Would you like to go to coffee with me? Also, I'd like to marry you, like tomorrow." But she looks at me and she smiles. She said, "Josh, I'd love to go to coffee. I like you too." And all three neurotransmitters in my brain are just exploding with love chemicals. And I floated away from that resource area. And it was in this moment, it was now, that I finally knew for myself, she likes me. It was now that I was convinced, that I was persuaded, "Oh, she does like me." And church, the question I would like for you and I to consider today is, do you really know how much God loves you? Do you really know? Do we really know how much God loves us? Or are we simply church attendees with some Christian values and we change the status in our Facebook religious status? Or have we encountered the love of God in such a way that it has changed us from deep within? And we know that no matter what happens from here on out, there is nothing. I am convinced that there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Church, do we know? Do we really know how much God loves us? Do you know how much God loves you? Are you persuaded? Are you convinced that there is nothing that could separate you from his love? We find here in Romans 8, Paul is speaking to the church in Rome and he reminds them and you and I today the power of the gospel. What is the gospel? That Jesus paid the debt that we were incapable of paying, that I was dead in my sin and Jesus raised me to life. That what has been done cannot be undone. Sin has been defeated. The veil has been torn. And I can receive the miracle gift of salvation. And God's holy, perfect love washes over me, forgives me, and transforms me. And so Paul proclaims, if the gospel is true, what shall we say? And his response, notice Paul doesn't say, well, I'm pretty sure. I have high hopes. No, Paul says, I am fully convinced. I have a deep conviction and belief that there is nothing that could separate you and I from his love. Paul says, I am persuaded that not only does God love me, but he proved it by giving it in his son, Jesus. And church, catch this. Paul finds it imperative to remind us his concern wasn't so much that the church knew that God loved them as much as they knew that nothing can separate you. Nothing can undo, can stop God's love for you. No devil, no demon, no spirit, no plan of the enemy, no evil, no shame, no guilt, no government, no sickness, no tragedy, no economy, no failure, no mistake. Nothing in this life, no matter how high, no matter how low, there is nothing in your present, in your past, or anything to come that can separate you from the love of God. By the way, this is coming from Paul, who all these things he lists, that we may come across in this life that will attempt to separate us from the love of God. He's faced them. And Paul's conclusion is this: at the end of it all, God's love will never fail me. And Paul's response is the only response to this gospel truth. Paul places his life. Paul places all of his life into the loving hands of Jesus. Nothing else deserves my faith, my trust, and my devotion, and my love. In case you haven't noticed, this love Paul is proclaiming, the love of God, church, it is the love that humanity is desperately searching for. The kind of love that was willing to pay it all. A love that never fails. It has never failed and it never will. It is a love that never leaves us, and may it remind us that every other worldly option fails us. It will always come up short of fulfilling that place deep within our soul. Yet it is the perfect love of God every human heart longs for. It is God's love exampled and proven through his son, and it is made alive and active through the Holy Spirit that reaches to the darkest places of humanity. And it reaches to the darkest places of our sin and the worst spaces of our hearts, and it brings grace and forgiveness in his unshakable, unrelenting, everlasting love. You may be here today and you're thinking, that sounds nice for good people. Could God love me? Friend, can I encourage you? Nobody's good. Nobody. Nobody's good but Jesus. And Jesus didn't come to save good people. He came to make dead people alive. The Bible says he demonstrates his love for us while we were still sinners. He died for us. And there are those of us, and we are fully aware of the depravity of our sin and just how lost and broken we are. And we ask this question, could God really love this? Friend, this is the power of the cross. That our darkest sin, our painful guilt, a holy, perfect God looked at me in my sin and my rebellion, my shame. And he loved me so much that he was willing to suffer and take my place. Take on my sin, the death that I deserve. Why? Because he loves you. And he did all of this while knowing that you might still reject him. took it all on the cross as his own, this love that conquered the grave. And it is here, I believe, the Holy Spirit wants to remind somebody that if you are here today and you're debating, could God really love me? Friend, it has already been accomplished on the cross. He already loves you. Nobody is too far gone. Nobody is out of the reach of the loving hands of our Savior. Nobody is a lost cause. Can I get an amen? And it is so powerful, and it is so real that you can leave church today persuaded like Paul. Oh, I'm convinced. God loves me, and there's nothing that could separate me from his love. Not because a preacher told me, not because I felt goosebumps in church, but because the almighty presence of God, the Holy Spirit of God, is in this place. He's closer than you think. He's ready to meet with you and encounter the heart that he created. I have one goal with today's message, church. It is simple, is that we would understand that God loves you more than you know, and that nothing can separate you from it. God loves you more than you know, and nothing can separate you from it. Quick side note, you may have heard somebody say, well, if God loves me anyway, I'll just live how I want. He still loves me. Yet scripture makes it clear, anyone saying such a thing has not encountered the love of God, they've encountered pride. The love of Jesus is more powerful than any human concept of love that we've tried to formulate. And while it is unlimited in its nature, our response to God's love is not, I'm just going to do what I want, but our response to the love of God is a holy wonder that I get to love him back. Every day I wake up, I get to receive more of his love. And so the more that I grow in the love of God, the more that I want to become like him. And the more that I grow in the love of God, the more that I hate my sin. And the more that I love to repent. The more that I understand, the more that I receive the love of God, the more that I want to become like him, and the more that I want to let go of the things of the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. Friend, make no mistake, God's love is unrelenting. It is far-reaching, and it will never let you go. And it has saved us. It has saved us from what? It saved us from our sin that leads to death. Well, what is that? It leads to hell. Well, what is hell? Hell is the ultimate answer to the rebellious human prayer. God, let go of me. I don't want you. And while we may reject him here on earth in his love, he is still holding on to you. But ultimately, it is his perfect, holy love. And God will not force himself on anyone. And God will ultimately grant the rebellious, eternal request, God, let me go, if we choose to do so. But I want to ask again, church, do you know the love of God? Amen. Have you surrendered to it? Have you stopped looking for it everywhere else and allowed God to take over your heart? Have you placed your life in his loving hands? I ask this question because in American Christian culture today, we can come to church and we can profess Christian values and still not know the power of his love. Because we haven't opened our hearts, our minds, our soul to the love of God. I want to close with two things the love of God does. Serena, you can come back up. Play the keys because it just sounds more spiritual. Number one, the The love of God does many things, but I want to focus on two today. Number one, the love of God and the fact that nothing can separate me from his love, it makes me secure. If nothing can separate me from the love of God, then the love of God makes me secure. Why? Because no matter what happens around me, what happens to me, what's taken from me, God still loves me. And he's with me. And nothing can change it, and nothing can separate me from it. If you'll observe the world we live in, humanity is desperately searching for security. And all the things the world has to offer, but there is only one solution to insecurity in my soul. It's the love of Jesus. You want to meet somebody who is confident, not in themselves, but who is confident. It is somebody who has received the love of God. His love that saves me, that changes me, that calls me. I am not secure because I'm holding on to him. Church, please understand, I'm secure because he is holding on to me. I want to close with this. The second thing God's love does is what I want to focus on today. God's love enables me to love people. Maybe the greatest indicator of receiving and understanding and growing in God's love is how well do I love people? You know what I've noticed is the greater that I grow in my understanding of his love, the more evangelistic I become. Church, all that God is, all that he does, it enables me to love people. When I understand how much God loves me, I see people differently. I start to see people the way that Jesus sees people. And he loved them so much that he died for them. I begin to understand, and this is going to rattle some of our thinking today. I begin to understand that God's love is for everybody. Everyone! For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him. Church, please understand that anybody who walks through the doors of this church is welcome to encounter the love and the grace of Jesus. Anyone, God's love is for everybody. I want us to think about this, that person that you don't like, that person that maybe you hate, that person that you think is evil, that person that you think is too far gone, Jesus loves them. Are we convinced? And God uses you and I to show them. Oh, friend, do you know how much Jesus loves you? Now, instead of when I encounter people, when I used to condemn them, and I used to criticize, now my heart aches for them. Oh, if you only knew how much Jesus loves you, let me show you. You know, one of the reasons why the world struggles with the love of God is because we aren't showing them. And when we receive and truly encounter the love of God, the way I see people changes. Christian is this: as Jesus laid down his life for us, as believers, church, please catch this. This is the church that we are, it's the church that we will be. As Jesus laid down his life for us as believers, we now lay down our lives for him and for others. This Christian life is a life where I lay my life down again and again at the foot of the cross.